Good to see this number out this morning, and if you're visiting with us, we're delighted to have you in our study. Always good to have some visiting with us, and if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you. We encourage you to take your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. If you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll show me the error of my way, I'll make the proper correction. But if you find that truth has been taught and you need to be baptized into Christ, while we're standing and singing, we'll be praying that you'd make that great confession that Jesus is the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the 26th chapter, I want to read with you, beginning at verse 1, and we'll read the entirety of the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land, and the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord, God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, with great terror, and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven, and bless your people Israel, and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today you proclaim the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. And today the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people, just as he promised you that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you high above all nations which he has made in praise and name and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. Worship is a central theme to the book of Deuteronomy. And in this reading, we're given a unique account of Israelite praise. On this occasion, you'll find that they are bringing the presentation of the first fruits, that season when the Hebrews brought the early and best produce as a thanksgiving unto the God of heaven. They brought this thanksgiving offering to let God know of their indebtedness to Him. And these verses describe a simple and yet moving ceremony. The worshiper took some of the first fruit from the soil of the land. He puts it in a basket and he goes to the place where the Lord will choose so that in the presence of the priest, he can make a confession. And that confession is that he is indebted to the God of heaven. And like any old part of the Old Testament, there are some spiritual principles here to know. You remember the Apostle Paul said in Romans 15:4 that the things written aforetime were written for our learning and our understanding. The first thing I want us to do is look in the book of Deuteronomy and the 26th chapter and look at verse 10. In verse 10, I want you to observe that there is a pronoun that we want to look at carefully. In verse 10, notice that the Bible says, "Behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship the Lord your God." Underscore the word "your." I want you to recognize that this reveals a personal relationship that the people had with God. And you will find throughout the book of Deuteronomy, this relationship mentioned many times. It's a personal relationship. And when Moses is directing the people, he said, "When you go, you do this before your God." There was no other gods beside Jehovah God. And they made this offering to the God of heaven, the only true and living God, and they did so as a personal way. Then the second thing I want you to look at in your Bible is in verse 17. Notice after they had recognized that the relationship with God was personal, that the Bible says in verse 17 that they're to walk in His ways, keep His statutes, His commandments, and His judgments, and they obey His voice. As we look at verse 17, we see that they walked in the way of the Lord. They took the first of all the produce of the ground, for this was the will of God, and they respected the authority of the Lord their God. It mattered not if they saw any sense in it. It mattered not if they looked and said, "Why should we do this?" They obeyed God because they had faith enough to understand whatever God commanded, they would follow. But then if you take your Bible, look at the third point. Look back in verse 2. In verse 2, they were to take it to the place where God chose. Notice it says in verse 2, the latter part, that they were to put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make His name abide. Now, my friend, this is exclusive worship. Any other place would not be right. Later on, Jerusalem, where the temple would be located, is where they would worship. But before that time, they had to go where God had directed them. They went to the place that God had told them to go. God specified to the people where to go and what to do. So thus far, I look and I see what happens when we worship. In the Old Testament, they saw that their relationship with God was personal. They saw that they were to walk in His ways. And they saw that they were to worship where He directed. But notice a fourth thing. They were to be grateful. They were bringing the first fruits because they were thankful to the God of heaven. They were grateful for all that God had done for them, that He brought them into the land of Canaan. Beginning at verse 7 and down through verse 9, you'll see what God had done for their forefathers, bringing them out of the land of Egypt and bringing them to this land that flows with milk and honey. And so when you read your Bible, you'll find that they show gratitude. They're grateful that God had delivered them from captivity and brought them to this land that He had promised to their forefather Abraham. Now that brings up a second question in our study. What happened as a result of worship? After they showed their gratitude to God, they saw their personal relationship with God, they walked in His ways, they followed His authority. Look at verse 16. Notice that the Bible says, "This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul." And then as you look down through verse 17 through verse 19, you'll see that they say that you are God's special people. They were to put their heart into it. I want you to look at verse 16. They were to worship God with all their heart and with all their soul. May I say to you this morning that any worship that's not heartfelt and has not come from the heart and is not filled from within is worship God will not accept. He said you worship, you observe this with all your heart and with all your soul. There are some things that we just have to learn to do with all of our might, and one of that is worship. But notice something else back in verse 1. In verse 1, notice what he said. In verse 1, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, they should rejoice. They were going to rejoice because of what God has given them. It was a happy occasion for the people of God to worship Him. It was an occasion where they were thankful to God. In verse 2, they took the fruit because they were grateful to God. So I want you to look and notice in verse 17 the result of this. In verse 17, God was pleased with their worship. Today you proclaim the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in His ways and keep His statutes, His commandments, and His judgments, and that you will obey His voice. They proclaim today to be the Lord's, and they glorified them as the God of heaven. And then if you drop down to verse 9, He blessed them. Notice that He said He would set them high above all nations which He's made, in praise, in name, in honor, and that they may be a holy people to the Lord your God. Have you ever thought about when they worship, what it meant to God and what it meant to them? That they worship God in spirit and truth. They love God. They followed His statutes. They followed His commands. They followed His judgments. They walked carefully to observe all things. And they worship God with all their heart and with all their soul. And it pleased the God of heaven. When they did exactly what God told them to do, and they followed the direction of God, God was pleased with their worship. Now then, let's take that and make application to our day and the lesson's yours. Because I believe these spiritual principles apply to their service and to our service to God. The first thing I want us to think about this morning is that when we look at our worship, we need to look at God as personal. That the Lord is my God. And I want you to understand I'm here to worship my God. He's the true and living God. It's a personal relationship I have with the God of heaven. In the Philippian letter and the 4th chapter, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, he talks about that God will supply their every need richly. But notice what he says in verse 19. And my God, underscore my God. Paul said, He is my God. He's the only true and living God, but He's the one that I believe in. He's the one that I serve. He's the one that I preach. And you know, my friend, when I see that the God of heaven is my God, it makes all the difference when I worship. When I see that He is a personal Father to me, that He looks down upon me with mercy and compassion, He wants me to be His child, and He loves me dearly. I liked what the boy said one day. I was holding him in the kitchen, and I said, Now, who's the best daddy in the world? And they looked at me and said, Well, God. He's the best father in the world. That's exactly right. He's the best heavenly father. He's the only true and living God. And I need to see Him as my God. Secondly, I need to respect His commands. When God tells me to do something, I do as He directed. God was pleased with the worship of the people when they brought the first fruits because they did exactly as He told them to. And sometimes today, people say, well, I don't see any problem with changing something. I'll tell you, my friend, it's not yours to change. God is the one to be worshipped. We're not here to worship you. We're not here to worship the preacher, the elders, the deacons. We're here to worship the Almighty. And he has every right to tell us and direct us on how to worship him. We are the worshipers. We don't have the right to change what the one being worshipped has told us. When we sing praises to God, like he says in Ephesians 5:19, we sing from the heart. Notice he said, you do that in the book of Deuteronomy with what? All your heart and soul. In Ephesians 5:19, what is it that Paul said? You remember that Paul said that we are to sing, we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I know this much, God is pleased with singing. That God is glorified with the fruit of our lips, as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13. And I understand this morning that when I worship God, I follow His commands, and I do so from the heart. I do so with all my heart and with all my soul. When I worship the way I'm supposed to, I'll tell you what, when I get home sometimes I feel tired. You know why? I put my heart into it. Can you say this morning you put your heart into worship? Can you say as we sang the songs and we worshiped God this morning that we did so with all our heart and with all our soul? When we partook of the Lord's Supper, did you see that we did so thinking on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? When we gave of our means, did we do so thinking about what He's given us? Do we follow His divine will? But thirdly, the place is important. Oh, I'm not talking about the building. But I worship God in the place He chooses. If God has a place that He has chosen, I need to be there to worship. Well, where has He told us to worship? Look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul tells us exactly where to worship in verse 21. To Him be the glory in the church. Underscore in the church. By Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Where do we worship? This building's not the church. It's just the meeting house. The church is the people. We've come together as God has directed. Where two or three are gathered in His name, there's no specific number. It's the people that come together to worship in spirit and truth. And we come to partake of the Lord's Supper. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice when Paul is writing, he tells us and commands us how to partake of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, look if you will kindly at verse 17. In verse 17 he said, now in giving these instructions I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, look at this, when you come together as a church. He says, I hear there are divisions among you. Some are taking the Lord's Supper in place and not waiting for others. And he said, you need to wait and partake together. You're a family partaking of the Lord's Supper. And God has said, you do so as a family. You come together. The place is together as the people of God. When I look out, I see men and women who encourage me. I see men and women who love the Lord, and they've been through many battles. They've been beat over the head sometimes, and they've really had to face trials, but they still put their faith in the Lord, and they come together, and they follow the will of God and worship in spirit and truth. But can I say there's something else? We need to have gratitude. When I recall all that God has done for me, in 1 Corinthians, again, in the 11th chapter, when Paul is instituting the Lord's Supper again, or the Lord has instituted it, but Paul is talking about the institution of the Lord's Supper. He said, I received, in verse 23, from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Paul's saying, when the Lord instituted Lord's Supper, He said, you eat of this in remembrance of me. I recall what He did. What did He do? He died for me. He was raised from the dead. And Paul said in verse 26, He's going to come again.
but he's never left me. Do you see this as a day of gratitude? Have you ever thought about when we come together to worship, we're showing gratitude to the God of heaven. We're showing our gratitude that he loves us. And I'll tell you something. Worship is meaningful when you put your heart into it and you're truly grateful. Worship is boring when we don't see the purpose of what God has done for us. But worship is meaningful when we look at God and we say, God, thank you for loving me in spite of my sin, in spite of my faults, and that you've provided a way for my sin to be taken away through your Son. And then I see that it's personal and that I bring an offering. You know, no one can worship for you. Nobody can take your place of your voice singing or doing the things that you're supposed to be doing during worship. Nobody can worship for you. You are in a relationship with God if you've been baptized into Christ. And I tell you what it should do. It should give us joy. What a joy to worship God. Ever thought about what it means to say, God, you're worthy. I love you. Sometimes what's happened is we have looked at the rules and we have to follow the commands just as they did. But sometimes in our looking at things, we overlook the fact that God is our Father. And we love Him. And we're grateful to Him. And everything He has given us to follow in His law, if you want to call them rules or whatever you want to call them, is for our good. Can you name me one command God has given us that's not for our good? I have rules at my house for my boys. Why? Because I want to restrict them and not let them have fun. No, I love them, and it's for their good. And when you think about how grateful we should be for all He's done, we'll be pleased to worship Him, and He'll be pleased with our worship. In John 4:24, it said, God is a spirit, and they who worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've proclaimed the Lord today. This is His day. Let us not miss the joy of true and genuine worship. Their theme this year has been revival, and I'll tell you where revival starts. Is when I look at myself and say, am I going through the motions? Or do I genuinely love God and worship God because He is worthy of it for what He's done for me? I would that I could get that into your heart. I would that I had the ability to preach that as I should. But today, let us see the joy of being His child. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we pray you'd obey the gospel this morning as together we stand and sing. We